This KZUM podcast is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Help KZUM continue to grow by donating online at KZUM.org. And don't forget to follow us at twitter.com/KZUM radio.
Welcome back to the Top of Lincoln. This is Tanner Odell. I'm your 18-year-old. Did I say 17-year-old earlier?
No, you said 18.
Okay, I did, because I still say 17 quite a bit for some reason.
I still remember you as 15.
I know.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's so difficult. I know. All of a sudden I'm 18, and all of a sudden I'm going off to college and all this stuff, but it's going to be fun.
I love that. I love that you are going to a culinary school.
It's
going to
be great.
Yes.
And all of my listeners know I'm headed to that vegan culinary school down in Austin, Texas. All of my guests I've had, we've been talking and chatting about Austin, Texas and the vegan scene, because this school I'm going to is vegan. And joining me around my table today, we're going to talk vegan here in a second. This is Judy Gilliard, or Judy a la carte. It's Judy a la carte.
I should have sent you the song.
You should have. Well, we can sing it.
Well, I can't sing.
I can. It's Judy a la carte.
She'll give you a healthy start.
She'll give you a healthy start. Food that's good for you.
And
tastes good, too. Judy a la carte.
Isn't that a wonderful song?
It is wonderful. It's catchy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, people... I've never gotten tired of it. I've had it for 20 years.
That's amazing.
Never gotten tired of it.
And what she's talking about is, of course, her radio show. If you live in Lincoln, you should know Judy's name, of course. And you have been doing radio for 20 years.
I have. Judy a la carte for 20 years.
But lots of radio before that,
but
too.
But before that, I was in radio. But in the very beginning, of course, I grew up in the restaurant business, and I went to culinary school and was in the restaurant business, and then kind of fell into broadcasting. And then I thought, I should take these two entities and
put them together.
Yeah.
Smash them together.
Judy a la carte was born.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm.
And during that song, which was Home, by the way, by Philip Phillips, the two first named American Idol winner, Judy and I were talking about, okay, what should we talk about during this show? Because we're good friends. We talk and we've chatted over lunch, all that good stuff. So we're just going to chat away. And the first thing she said, I'm like, okay, where do we start? She's like, well, everything starts with mise en place. And it really does. So, I mean, mise en place, if you don't know, it means getting everything in order. It's the first thing you should do when you get into the kitchen. Cut everything up. Get it ready for the recipe that you're going to be cooking. And that's kind of, that is where it all starts. So we want to kind of dissect Judy a la carte here a little bit.
Oh.
Go back to where it all started. Culinary school, all that stuff. Where do we start?
Oh, well, with culinary school, I think that anyone that loves food and that wants to... get involved with food. Culinary school is a great way to begin. Now, I grew up in the restaurant business, so it was kind of a natural thing for me. But when that was way before, Food Network and before it was a really kind of trendy, fun thing to do. Food has become, with the beginning of Food Network, has become so much more popular and people have gotten, I think, more involved and more adventuresome in different foods. But because I grew up in that business, I did, because we were in restaurants a lot. And then my mother was a good cook, and I always loved food. I don't remember ever not liking food. So,
of course, yeah. I remember not liking cheese,
really?
Which was, I know, that was a horrible point in my life. I wouldn't eat pizza. I wouldn't eat anything, but I still always loved food. Still don't like cilantro, though.
No? Oh, I cooked a soup for Empty Bowls that was yesterday. And I did a green chili pork soup, and it was topped with, I garnished it with cheese and cilantro, and because people either love cilantro or hate it.
So
I like it, yeah.
I know, and there's so many people I know. There's, you either like it or you hate. There's no, I think I was reading an article about it actually being something genetic. I can't remember exactly what it said, but we'll have to do some more research into that. I would believe that, though, because there are no people that are just like, it's okay. There's people that are like...
It's extreme.
Exactly.
Either they don't... So I thought we were very wise in keeping those things separate, that no one didn't want the cheese on it, but there was, a handful of people that didn't want cilantro.
Right. Yeah. Was there any foods that you didn't really like as you go through culinary school, you kind of learn to like and learn to respect?
Do you know, I liked all foods, and I know when I was in culinary school, I got so excited about it, and I wanted to try things all the time. I wanted to come home and cook, and I just couldn't get enough of it, and being in class and learning all these different techniques and things that I would never do again. Like garmage right. wasn't one of my my best classes, although I got through it okay. But that's, you know, where everything is very intricate. I'm not a very good detailed little intricate
right.
cook. I'm more of a rustic cook. So, but they were fun. You know, it's always fun to learn. To learn as much as you can. That's why I'm excited that you're going to a vegan school, because I think, you know, the pendulum, when I was in college, it was healthy foods and a lot of grains. So that's where I was. And then we kind of went, you know, like convenience foods, and because both parties were cooking, and we kind of lost that. And then Food Network comes, and now we find the farmers markets, which are wonderful, and people are cooking more from farm to table, and that's
beautiful. It is so exciting.
It is. And so that going to a vegan school, you're going to learn so much about, you know, because I've wanted to spend some time getting to learn more about some of the grains that are out there, because they're great grains that have full of protein and different ways that we can cook them.
There's so many different ones. And I'm gluten-free. So, and the thing is, when you say gluten-free, you automatically think, oh no, you can't eat any grains. Well, the thing is, there's all
kinds of grains
out there. There's all these different techniques, mm-hmm. things I'm going to learn. I'm actually getting a Vitamix.
Are you?
I'm going to be getting it like tomorrow. So, you know, okay.
Right.
So I graduated from high school, you know, and uh-huh. with my graduation money, I'm probably the only high school graduate that's buying himself a Vitamix with his graduation money.
That's great.
So I'm headed down to this vegan school, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to be learning about raw cooking, all that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. I'm thinking, what do I really need? I need a Vitamix.
Yeah.
And those things, they can pulverize grains into flours, all that different mm-hmm. stuff. So
and soup, you know, a nice, you know, wholesome soup.
Exactly. And you can do raw food mm-hmm. soup. So mm-hmm. it's so simple to do all that kind of stuff. I'm going to learn just an extreme amount of things about vegan cooking and all that kind of stuff. And what do you think about gluten-free?
Well, gluten-free, I think it depends. I mean, if you have celiacs, of course you have to be gluten-free.
Yes, there's no choice there.
Yes. I think everyone, when you go to the doctor, that you should ask for a celiacs test just to see if you're sensitive to grains, because, we didn't even hear about gluten-free or those problems
right.
a few years ago, and people that had celiac disease had really problems finding the foods to eat, and they had to cook themselves. I think every chef should learn more about gluten-free, because if you're in a restaurant because it's very serious. I mean, that if someone has celiacs, if you have one speck of wheat, you get very ill.
Very sick quite a while. It takes you down.
Yeah, and I think every chef should really learn a lot more about cooking gluten-free. But I think if you're not sensitive to it, I know I had the test. I'm not sensitive to it, so I have no problems with wheat. I think the more whole grains that we can get in your diet. So I'm more looking at, for me, and just generally cooking, is just cooking with as much whole grain as I can, and trying a lot of these grains that happen to be gluten-free that they have out there that are really fun to cook with and to experiment with. And
right.
And that we, you know, it's the same as being diabetic. You know, it's not you, it's you just balance everything. You learn to have balance in your diet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's so many studies and things coming out now mm-hmm. that tell you, you know, one way or the
yes.
other, all kinds of things that it's like, okay, you know, there's tons of people that are going mm-hmm. gluten-free as a trend, all that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. I went gluten-free probably 6 months ago uh-huh. now. And now if I eat anything with gluten, it totally takes me down. I wasn't actually sensitive to gluten, uh-huh. but now that I took it out of my diet.
But your girlfriend is, right?
She is, yes she is sensitive. So that's the whole reason uh-huh. I got turned on to it. But now that I have taken it out of my diet, I'll eat, like, I ate a whole bunch of just wings that had barbecue sauce uh-huh. on them, and the barbecue sauce had gluten in it. I ate a whole bunch of those wings, mm-hmm. and then I had such a bad migraine that I had to lay in, like, chiropractor positions and stuff afterwards. So, I mean, if you take something out of your diet like that and uh-huh. then all of a sudden put it back in,
then you probably do have some sensitivity
there
to it.
There has to be.
Because that's when you really tell. And the thing is that like you said, in the barbecue sauce. Who would have thought gluten was in soy sauce?
I know. Sushi, it's like, it's so difficult to order sushi now.
Right, because you'd have, well, you could bring your own, because Kikkoman does make a gluten-free. So what you can do is just bring your own soy sauce to make sure you have gluten-free.
Will you please use my soy sauce instead of your soy sauce? Okay, let's get back on track now. So let's, after culinary school, was your next step?
After culinary school, I'm trying to think back. Right after culinary school, well, I was living in Santa Barbara, and I actually started teaching because when I went to culinary school, it was a very small school. There was only 27 of us there. And while I was there in my management class, I had wanted to do fine dining. My dream was always doing a fine dining, healthy restaurant. I wanted to write healthy cookbooks, which ultimately
beautiful.
I did. But that was my goal. So I had worked with one of the other students that had wanted to be a fine dining chef, and we set up this little dining room on campus that people could come. We'd do the menus, and people could come, and the students would learn how to serve. So I went back to the college, and I taught that class, and I worked I worked as a waitress, putting myself through school, and
like so many people do.
Exactly. And for some reason, I had said after I finished, I would not work as a waitress again because I thought I had to start moving on.
Right.
So I worked as a maitre d', and I started managing restaurants, and I got involved, and then I was a partner in some restaurants, and it was really fun. But they were always little fun, cute restaurants. Like one of the one that was probably stand out from everything was a old firehouse that we had turned into a restaurant.
And that's awesome.
It was so cool. And we had the fire pole, and we turned the grease pit into a wine cellar, and there was tempered glass on it. And every hour on the hour, we'd have a fire drill, and we'd all
that's funny.
We'd put smoke down it, and we'd all
swirl down.
Can you believe me swirling down a fire pole? And we had a bar was a cypress tree. We had split in half and shellacked, and all of our tables were collages. And our menu, we had a salad bar, and we did everything from scratch. And so all of us that were involved in it, we would be at night, you know, making the onion rings, or you know, at 1 a.m. But it was great fun. So that was
such a fun experience.
And then one of the others I'm going to go back because one of the things that I did that was really exciting, I lived in LA for right before I moved back home to go to culinary school, and I worked at the Brown Derby, the Big Hat. If you've ever seen pictures of that, you know, from LA and Hollywood.
I don't know.
It was the Brown Derby. That's where the Cobb salad was born. And
I've seen this on TV.
Yeah.
I've seen, okay, yeah.
So anyone watching that remembers that, the Big Hat, you know.
Yeah.
And I had worked there, and we had to, you know, toss our little Cobb salads at the table and do all this. And it was one of those really great experiences of my life that I worked there. But then coming back home, I was always involved with kind of small, trendy, fun places to work. And then the restaurant I was managing called the Head of the Wolf, and that means La Besa de Lobo, which was between the mountains and the seashore. It was a Tennessee Tennessee Williams, or John Fitzgerald. It was one of his books. So this restaurant was named after that. And we, again, everything from scratch. Fantastic food, and we opened one in Palm Springs, and I moved there to run it, and kind of everything.
How fun
was,
is that?
So it was
so many fun experiences wrapped up.
It is. I've been very fortunate in my life to have had some just wonderful experiences. Most all of them based around food, you know, discovering food, wine, and always, you know, I learn something new almost every day. I mean, you never stop learning. Yeah.
I always look for people to learn from. I think that's one of the most important things
is
finding someone. And I mean, you will learn something new every day if you go out and talk to people and just mingle upon, you know, learn all kinds of new things, especially around chefs. I mean, chefs always have so many secrets and so many things to teach you.
And we have some wonderful chefs here in Lincoln. We're so lucky. We're in the heartland of America. We have all this terrific, you know, these wonderful farmers. It's great food. We have meat, pork, you know.
So many farmers markets, one yes. pretty much every day of the week.
The only thing, you know, we don't have is, well, we have trout. We have fresh trout.
Yeah.
We don't have.
We're pretty far away from the ocean.
Yeah. But you know what? You can't have everything. So.
Exactly. I did have Monty from Surf and Turf on my show not too long ago, though. So he's pretty much our direct connection to some good.
Exactly.
Seafood.
We do. You know, since we started that and people that fly in overnight, you know, some fresh fish, that's really great.
Right. So, so many experiences wrapped up into Judy a la carte. Mm-hmm. How was Judy a la carte really born exactly?
Well, like I said, I thought, why don't I take what I know about radio and what I know about broadcasting and put them together? And I developed this character. And what I wanted to do, and I still do, my mission has never changed, is get people around the table enjoying food and getting excited about cooking and enjoying the pleasures of the table. And because cooking can be really easy. You know, it's just your ingredients. Let them speak for themselves. So it was really fun starting this venture. And then my song was born when a good friend of mine, and he had been or still is a musician. And I said, Jimmy, I need a song. And I said, I want it to be kind of jazzy and I wanted to say what I do. And he came up with this song that I still love to this day. So,
Judy a la carte.
Yes, I should have sent it to you.
You're going to still have to send it to me. We'll put it up on the podcast.
Yeah, because it's a great little song. So I love my song.
It is.
And then I also, you know, along the way wrote, you know, 10 cookbooks, which...
Dun, dun, dun. We need like some music here. Yeah. 10 cookbooks.
10 cookbooks. So it's been a nice... So amazing. I got to fulfill my dream of writing healthy cookbooks. So that was...
Can I ask you, what's your favorite... What's your favorite recipe right now?
My favorite recipe, right now I am absolutely in love with Jacques Pepin's new book, Essential
Pepin. You told me about this book last time we had lunch.
So I have been making new recipes from his book because I think sometimes it's really fun to take a cookbook and find recipes and try them. And then you're going to learn something new from that. And I really like him as a writer and a chef because he tells the story about everything that he prepares. So I'm having fun with that. I just moved. I don't know. You know, I moved to a little bungalow. So I'm
a bungalow.
A little bungalow. And I'm setting it up. And I did get a new stove and a new refrigerator.
Of course.
Yes. So
you have to.
Yes, exactly. And there's nothing more fun for a chef than a new piece of equipment. You know?
No kidding. I know. Yeah. We got a new stove not too long ago. And now I'm moving down and I'm going to have all new equipment. Uh-huh. I'm going to buy new pots and pans.
Oh, good.
All that kind of stuff. What kind of pots and pans should I get?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, my favorite still to this day is La Crusade.
Oh, of course. I think expensive stuff.
Yeah. So if you want,
encourage the college kid to buy the expensive La Crusade.
But, you know, I was looking, Giada has some nice cast iron cookware out. I also like, I like some of the Circulan and the Kefalon cookware.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. I have a big range of cookbooks. If you came to my house, you would see I don't have any sets. I have different pieces from different cookware.
Well, I went through a Rachel Ray phase, let's see, probably when I was 12 or 13, right when I was starting to cook. So when I, when Christmas came along, instead of asking for, you know, traditional 12-year-old things, I wanted the Rachel Ray pots and pans set. I wanted the spatulas and everything. So you should see everything is orange, first of all, because she had everything orange.
Right.
So I'm still, you know, I'm still stuck in my Rachel Ray phase when I'm cooking because I still have her pots and pans and everything.
Do you
so
like
I'm ready
them?
For it. I do like them. I'm ready for a change. That's
well,
for sure.
What I would suggest is get different pieces. You know, get a good egg pan. You want an 8-inch good egg pan. And definitely that is nonstick. Some of the green pans are really nice.
I've been seeing lots of those lately.
Those are nice. But, the, you know, the nonstick has come a long way. But I would invest in some good cookware, just good basic pieces, because you'll, you know, get a good saute pan, good egg pan, you know.
All that good stuff.
Yeah, pasta,
and maybe
pasta.
A Le Creuset here and there.
Yeah, here, there. And you can find, you know, like I said, they have, you know, Target has that, that the Giada, which I like
stuff.
Her stuff. Yeah, and, I think Martha Stewart has some cast iron aluminum. Now, Rachel Ray is coming out with some the enameled cast iron.
I've seen that.
It just came out. Just
She's
coming
out with everything.
She does.
She even has dog food.
I know, it's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. I look at her and I'm like, there's the brand that I'd like to be eventually.
Yeah,
really. She has done an amazing job of branding herself.
But you will. And because you're starting out a lot younger than she did even.
Yeah,
I mean, of your goal. And you have your goal set, which I love.
I do.
And I'm so happy you're going on to school, and then you're going to work with the... Because there's some wonderful chefs in Austin, too.
There are. And if you listeners remember, I had Grayson Schmitz from Top Chef Texas on my radio show a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Great interview. She was so much fun. You'll have to catch that podcast, mm-hmm. Judy. It was hilarious.
Oh, wow.
And she's going to introduce me to Mr. Paul Key down in. He was the winner of Top Chef Texas. So when I'm down there, hopefully we're going to have some fun things going on. And you're going to get to follow all of that as well on my website, all that good stuff. So it's already 6:57. We're done at 7 o'clock.
Time flies, doesn't it?
It really flies. We could talk for hours, probably. Yes. I'm sure we could, because I have lots of other things mm-hmm. we need to talk about. So that means Judy's coming on to my show again here pretty soon.
I would love to. Absolutely. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, where can everyone find out more information about you? You have your Facebook, your website, all that good stuff.
I do. ChefJudy.net is my website. And from there, you'd find my blog, my podcast, and you can contact me with any questions. You know, I love it. I love food. So
so do I. What's one tip that you can give the listeners here as we're going out?
Oh.
So many tips to give.
There's so many
But I
tips.
Limit her to one.
Yes. Okay. Wash all of your fruits and vegetables in a solution of, in a basin of water with distilled white vinegar, about a cup to a big basin of water.
Perfect.
Your lemons, everything. Wash all those to get any bacteria off, freshens them up, and they'll keep well in your refrigerator.
Judy a la carte. Thank you so much for being on the show, Judy.
Thank you for having me.
You can follow me on Twitter and like me on Facebook, twitter.com/TannerOdell, facebook.com/ILikeTannerOdell. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday night. This was the Top of Lincoln, and here comes the celebration on KZUM 89.3, your community radio station.